Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, this is Lauren Bowles. You know I play Holly, the new waitress at Merlot's on HBO's True Blood, right? All right, here's the deal. I'd rather spend all night with them damn bloodsuckers than another minute listening to that Mr. Media radio. No thanks.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk with journalist Jim Trombetta, author of A Halloween Treat, The Horror, comic books the government didn't want you to read. Stick around, evil human, or be eaten by a giant, two-headed, radioactive space worm.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher's smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? Well, that would be me. This is Bob Ambleman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of creepy, crawly things you might recognize as the Tea Party in the new media capital of the world and home of my imaginary co-host, the late Dr. Paul Bearer, St. Petersburg, Florida.
And this comic book is a love story, a boy and girl in love. They get married, and after an offensively lurid description, illustrated, of course, of the couple's wedding night, the book shows how the bride murders her husband by chopping his head off with an axe. This comic book describes a sexual aberration so shocking that I couldn't mention even the scientific term on television. I think there ought to be a law against them. Tonight I'm going to show you why.
Any book in which Goosebumps author R.L. Stein writes the introduction is going to be scary. But the horror, comic books the government didn't want you to read is a different kind of frightening. It's about government censorship, federal abuse of the First Amendment, hypocrisy and hype, and frankly, an unwillingness of comic book publishers, such as EC, in the 1950s to show a little restraint. Jim Trombetta's four-color coffee table book full of blood, gore, science gone awry, and nightmarish things that crawl, slither, and kill is gratuitous fun now for adults, but it also details an era when America was overrun with communist scare tactics, paranoia, conspiracy theories, and a long-since-discredited knucklehead named Dr. Frederick Wortham and his book, Seduction of the Innocent. Ah, the good old days. This book, which I would not at all recommend for youngsters, reproduces hundreds of freakish comic book covers and many complete stories from the days before the establishment of the Comics Code Authority, a wild time when anything went and often did. Now, in between, Trombetta lays out what was happening in the United States and details how things grew so far out of whack. Jim, I've got a lot of questions about your book, but first, I want to ask you about one particular cover reproduction. It was Space Western number 41, featuring Spurs Jackson and his space vigilantes. It's published by Charlton Comics, December 52. And the cover features cowboys fighting aliens with a giant flying saucer in the background. Now, it kind of looked to me like it might have inspired this big budget film, Cowboys and Aliens, with Harrison Ford. And I wondered if you and I both smelled lawsuit.
Well, I don't know, because really it's in the public domain. The cover is in the public domain, and Spur Jackson is in the public domain. So if the copyright hasn't been renewed, you know, you could actually do Spurs Jackson if you wanted without having to pay. So the idea itself probably can't be controlled. And actually, there was an earlier Aliens or Cowboys versus Aliens script that was circulated by David Shute, the film critic. So there's even an earlier screenplay version of it. And it seems like it might just be an idea whose time has come. You know, that Hollywood, that the studios will buy anything like the property they have to clear the way so that from lawsuits. So they probably are aware of it, you know. But I don't know. That's an interesting question, and we'll see what happens. And we'll see if it's like that. But it is an idea whose time has come. And when I heard about it, I thought, gee, I wish I'd written the screenplay myself. You know, so.
You saw the similarity, too, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. As soon as they said, well, first of all, I said, gee, really, Spurs Jackson, I mean, this Space Vigilante, make a great movie because it has all this great stuff in it. And then as soon as I read that, I saw it in the paper that it was being made. So I guess I had the same idea as everybody else except 2 weeks later. So.
I had to ask you about that because it was so contemporary. But why, let's go back to the major part of the book, why didn't our peace-loving, open-minded government in the 50s want us reading horror comics?
Well, as I say, I think that horror comics were perfectly okay as long as they were below the cultural radar and below the radar of any kind of authorities. I don't think, I don't think a senator would look at a comic book. I think it was beneath him, and that result was that these comics could not only contain sensationalistic and prurient material, they could contain, sort of traumatic stress of a whole era could be packed in there and express forbidden feelings and forbidden emotions, forbidden histories that really weren't allowed anywhere else. And then when they got a load of what was in there and they actually did look, I think they found things that really troubled them, that were issues that were unresolved for them. And I think that's the kind of thing they just didn't want to hear about it. And I think that's the kind of thing that they wanted to get rid of. And that's why it had to go. And because it was only considered children's material, there wasn't any, advocates, to get out there and say, the readers had no advocates to say, oh, no, they actually like this or they don't like that. They had no advocates. It was just going to be, the adult, kind of white male power structure was just going to get rid of this stuff that it didn't want to hear about. And, for instance, child abuse, I think, was a big issue in the hearing, as I did in the book. But what was pointed out to me later, and what I think is also very interesting, is the second half of that session in which they condemned EC, basically. The afternoon session shows the senators actually loving the comics format or loving the form in the form of newspaper strips and fawning all over Milton Caniff and Al Capp, and they love, and because they'd, oh no, we love this form, we're not going to get rid of the form. And, it's just sort of a double think. I mean, they kind of like it, but they can't see the same values in the horror comics. And Al Capp, on the other hand, he's not really right-wing at that time. He attacked McCarthy pretty soon. He was about to attack McCarthy. But then, of course, Milton Caniff was very patriotic and doing Steve Canyon by then, which, of course, is probably the dullest comic strip ever produced. somebody might argue with me about that, but, nothing ever happened to Steve Canyon except he seems to, show up somewhere with a briefcase. That's about it,
But it was a very suggestive briefcase. Do you think that they went after comics for the same reason that 20 years ago they went after rap music and they had Sister Soulja testify that it's low-hanging fruit? It's, yeah, we got big problems,
yeah.
But that's
that's a good phrase. That's a very good phrase. But it's very interesting the way every youthful expression had to be crushed. I mean, the frenzy about rock and roll is a separate field, but if you see the people, breaking records on the air and what they dislike and their sense of, the racist elements of it because it was broke down segregation, at least at the concerts and stuff. I think that's, you know, that was something else, but it was just, it was also an expression of forbidden emotions and forbidden, you know, forbidden natural life or forbidden natural feelings or expressions. In the horror comics, it was negative stuff or nightmares. You weren't allowed to have your real, you weren't allowed to have your nightmares. In rock and roll, you weren't allowed to have your fun or your ecstasy or your eroticism or your energy. You just, you know, your energy going, that wasn't good either. Everything had to be real inhibited. So I think they had to go after that. And but it was, you know, it was pointless. What was the point? You know, what was the point of getting rid of it? All it did was create, in my memory, a lot of bad radio for a long time. And it was forced off the air, you know, really until the Beatles are the one that brought it out back again, because it had been forced off the air, you know, by 1960. There was nothing to hear, no rock and roll stations.
Well, of course, a lot of that was racial too. It was up until the Beatles. A lot of it was, you know, it was black groups, and that was not accepted in a lot of ways in society.
Well, right, right.
So, well, all right. So let's come back. Let's come back to the comics.
Weren't
comics, whether they were superheroes or romance comics or horror comics, wasn't it all just innocent fun? You know, like professional wrestling.
Well, I'm not sure the horror comics really are innocent fun, and I don't think they intended to be innocent. I think that they really are, you know, a traumatic stress on paper, printed, you know, four color. And I think a lot of them maybe for adults, but I think that they are real sneaky in getting in particularly difficult elements of people's experience and people's feelings and stuff like that. I think it's a crossover, and I think it is an adult form. Now, you know, apparently it's considered that Wortham really would have liked some type of a rating system, and I don't know whether it would have worked, but it's at least a rational idea, because I think some real horror comics, the heavy ones, kind of are for adults. Well, you can see that actually maybe for teenagers, really bright teenagers, and then adults, because it will kind of bring back things. You know, the skulls and all, bring about experiences of the war, and also communicates experiences about the war in Korea, which, as far as I can tell, you know, everything about the Korean War was just horror. I mean, it was just horrible, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you're trying to be patriotic and make a big deal out of it, at the same time you're trying to pretend it's not happening, and then this everything that's happening is horrible, that everybody that comes home and tells a story, it's always horrible, always ends up with some kind of severed head in the story. And, you know, he said, you're not really supposed to say that stuff, and it ends up with the low-hanging fruit where no one's really looking at it. So that, I think, it's not innocuous. I think it is a challenge. It's, you know, certainly worth doing, you know, but it is a challenge to society in a way a superhero is really innocuous. I think when superheroes came in, to me, it's of no interest. That was of no interest. Then I started to read science fiction magazines for adults at that time. But I think superheroes are of no interest. I don't know, what was the other thing that you mentioned?
The romance comics?
Well, romance, I don't think, I really don't know how well they did, because they wanted to ban those too. Because of the sex content, or because, you know, somebody might get pregnant, or, you know, or there was Wortham said that there was cheating. They would cheat sometimes, you know, so they'd have to get rid of all the country and Western songs as well. But, yeah, I superheroes, you know, was like, it was bland for me, not because I was getting older, too, but then it was the 70s, I was like a graduate student, then I started to get interested again, because they had not only brought back certain kinds of horror comics, but they also had, you know, they had Jonah Hex, you know, that I thought was really good, you know, stuff
right,
like that. Yeah, that
yep.
stuff was great. Yeah.
Well,
I'm
sorry, Jim.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a real quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with journalist Jim Trombetta, who's the author of the book and accompanying – he's not the author of the accompanying DVD, but there is an accompanying DVD called The Horror, Comic Books the Government Didn't Want You to Read. And we will be right back.
Now, before I say goodnight, my sponsor – would like to bring you an important message.
Ever thought of hosting your own radio show? Now you can by registering at blogtalkradio.com. While you're there, check out our selection of premium packages. To start your own show today, visit blogtalkradio.com.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
Wow, that was a close one. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with journalist Jim Trombetta, author of the book, The Horror, Comic Books the Government Didn't Want You to Read. You mentioned something that I was very curious about. You wouldn't necessarily think that these horror comics were particularly good for anyone. And I wondered, are you a parent?
No, I'm not. I have a niece,
okay.
3-year-old niece, well, but I'm not a parent.
And the reason I ask is I've got a 14-year-old, and I noticed I was a lifelong comics reader, everything, especially in the 70s. I'd read pretty much anything that Marvel would put out, anything DC would put out, the short-lived Atlas line at the time. And there was some horror stuff. There was some horror reprints. And, I'd be fascinated to read it. And I never thought, and that was the age when I learned about Wortham and all this stuff from the 50s. And I never thought, I always thought, who cares? It's just comic books. But it's a funny thing when you when you become a parent and you start reading it through the eyes of... That's why I was curious. It's interesting because you do see things a little differently. However, having said that... clearly that this was a time of overreaction and hysteria.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's hysteria and overreaction, and what I think what's irritating maybe is the hypocrisy in which you hide behind children, the welfare of children, to have an agenda which involves censoring all kinds of non-conforming statements or ideas. But what I was going to say, I meant to say about, I kind of agree with you about small children, and also because in some ways they can't understand the irony of the story. If they can understand the story, they might not be able to understand the irony of it, the humor of it, and believe it too much. But I also think it's interesting you mentioned those Marvels and the Marvel reprints. Marvel was able to go on with Supernatural comics after Wortham. And I think the reason for that was that what they did was maybe a little more subtle, and it was scary. I mean, they could take away some of the code stuff, they could drop out, but they could still put out their books, because some of the sinister stuff that they used was a little bit more threatening, than it was explicit. So that I think like little kids are interested in sort of metaphysical scary things, like the idea that you put your hand in a bag and you sit in the bag and you can't get it out. I mean, it seems like a thing that a kid thinks about, or, an elevator goes to the 13th floor and the door opens and there's nothing there, you're up in the sky. I mean, those are things kids kind of think about more so than really gory stuff. I think the gory stuff seems to be for the adults. I don't know if I can prove that, but I feel like the kids are more interested in that. They have metaphysical thought in a way going on, and that's so that the Marvel works because it gives like a metaphysical sort of a frisson, for a kid, that kind of thing. There's a gorilla in the hallway. How did it get there? Like that kind of stuff. What would you do if the gorilla was in the hallway? I don't know. Like that, So I think that they succeeded by doing that, and it probably is really more interesting to a kid in some ways. I kind of think, I mean, I think if people follow their natural interests, it probably might not need to be censored so much. I don't know.
Now, at the top of the show, I played a little audio clip from the DVD that accompanies your book. To give credit, that's a fellow named Paul Coates who's doing the talking. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Shortly after that clip, he talked to Senator Estes Kefauver, who's very famous for a lot of things. And Coates Coates comes off as overzealous, but Kefauver comes off more restrained.
Sure.
Certainly, with regard to the First Amendment. Now, it's interesting in that I think that if that conversation took place today and had been pre-recorded as that was, let's say on Fox, they would probably edit out the stuff where the senator expressed concern about proceeding on First Amendment issues, but that he was worried about the youth of America. And then, but from that point on, it just goes crazy.
Yes. Very interesting. That's a very good analysis. You paid a lot of attention to it. Yeah, I think so. I think that, first of all, that's what seems strange about it to me, is that I think the crisis appears to be over, so that, you know, Paul Coates is kind of tilting against the windmill. You know, I mean, it's over. They're not going to make any more of them. The only ones you'll ever see are those ones that maybe the kids have hidden someplace, you know, and that's all you're ever going to see again. So he's getting so self-righteous, and, you know, he has got this style of, like, the short sentences. You know, you create urgency, get you all excited. And the thing about the appearance of Kefauver, you know, this show he has the rhythm or structure of a kid's show of the time. You know, I was going to do that when I wrote it up, but it was too complicated to try to, you know, explain it. But the thing is, it was like either something between Howdy Doody and Captain Video. I don't know if you go back as far as I do to remember this stuff.
I get the references, absolutely.
Yeah,
I completely get those references,
Yeah, well, there's a certain structure, and in Howdy Doody, you know, certain figures are going to appear. Oh, Princess Summer Fall Winter Spring, now she's here, and Mr. Bluster, he's always there, and the kids are always happy. The same figures appear, or in Captain Video, there's always be a film within the show, and the film would show the video rangers who are Western rangers. There'd be a Western inside the science fiction show, which I always thought was real interesting, you know. But what Coates does is it's not going to be Mr. Bluster who shows up. It's going to be Estes Kefauver, because he always shows up with this stuff, right? And we're going to have we have the peanut gallery of some of the kids, and they're there, and they're going to describe some of their experiences. And now we're going to have a film within the show, and it's going to be this film, you know, about these kids torture a kid because they read some comic books like they never saw any of them before, you know. So
that was,
you know, you're going to have that. Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
that little part was the crazy part, in that he says, where do kids get the idea for this kind of stuff? Well, apparently they get it from TV producers who explain to them how to grab a kid off the street.
Well, to get it from Paul Coates, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that designed this thing. I think it's really pretty obscene. I thought it was really pretty unpleasant to look at that stuff, you know. And, so I thought that, you know, so we get that, and we get this warning. And, you know, Kefauver, he takes it easy, and he's very pleasant. So he is being sort of almost like a kid's host. He really ought to come in with the coonskin cap, because that would fit the whole show. Anyway, I think it is sort of a kid's show for adults, and it touches all the bases. And, you know, it goes through everything, and everybody's then reassured somehow, rather than worried, they're reassured, because it's really touched all the bases and been been childlike for adults, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think. I mean, it's sort of robotic in a way. I don't really think he has anything to say, and I think it's strange that he runs it. And then, of course, this thing where he has to trump up, you know, this torture scene. And also the other thing is, of course, the whole paradox in the early 50s, which was, you know, they had a thing like, why Johnny can't read? So they want kids to learn to read. But then there was something going on where nothing that you read was any good. So if you read and wanted to read stuff, there wasn't anything you could read that they could approve of. So there was sort of a conflict there about, you should be reading, but nothing you can read is any good, including in some ways classics of different kinds, which might be communist, or there might be somebody that would be offended by them, so you can't read that. So then you have this thing where you should be playing baseball, and then they have this artificial conflict between baseball and reading, like the the same kid can't do both. You know, so these are the myths of the 50s that are so strange, you know. I don't mean to bore you, but he goes through all of them. I mean, there's a whole range of these things that he goes through, a whole archive, and he runs through every single one.
Well, folks, listen, we're just about out of time, but you can find Jim Trombetta's fascinating ode to a hopefully bygone era, although I have my doubts. The book is called The Horror, Comic Books the Government Didn't Want You to Read. It's got a almost amusing, in some ways, accompanying DVD, and you can find it at great bookstores everywhere. Order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Jim, are you on Facebook or Twitter? Can people find you in any of those places?
I am on Facebook, yeah. Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
In any case, I would just say one last thing. It's
sure.
In terms of the horror and in terms of the banning, I believe that in this book, there's one image in there for everybody will feel like they shouldn't have seen. Because there's something for me, there's something for everybody. So that's what's there.
That's a good way to put it. Well,
yeah.
Listen, it was a fascinating book to read through, brought back a lot of memories, good and bad, and good work.
Yeah.
And thanks for being with us on Mr. Media today.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jim. And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite comic book journalists, comic book creators, comic strip creators, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, it's audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. If you like what you hear, give us a couple of stars, write a review, please. If you've got an idea for a guest or you'd just like to comment on today's show, email me directly at bob@MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a little piece of your day and spending it with us. Thanks.